don't know what month or year it happened, but I got a note straight to Dale. You know, before,
a lot of that stuff isn't around anymore.
Yeah, there was more service, and he called a meeting with him.
Quarters for some of the
you saw him doing something you didn't appreciate, right?
Right.
Okay, now can you describe me when and where and how and
okay,
what you saw?
Okay, he started with the phone father's back towards the room.
Pardon me?
He started with the phone father's back towards his room.
There was a telephone.
There was a telephone coming out of Robin Zetta's room. Well, the phone was in the hallway, and I saw him unscrew the voice part that you're talking to, and, well, let's say I saw him screwing back, and jiggling with the phone, you know, because I walked down to the it was a T-shaped hall, and I walked from the door of the roof to the trunk of the T-shape of the hall, and I saw him bending over the phone. He was facing me because I assumed he was watching since it was a road on the floor. He couldn't hear me coming down the hall, so. I caught him in the act of screwing the phone back in. So I went back to my post and I sit there and I thought about it. And before all of this happened, though, before I caught him in this position on the floor, crouching position over the phone, I had observed him coming down, coming off of one of the streets off Webster and approaching Fillmore.
What time did they have that money?
Well, this was in the late afternoon, you know, before, in between services. Closer. Yeah. Closer to the time when service was about to start. It fitted the occasion. anyway, and I went on downstairs and I told McElvain, and I said, McElvain sent somebody up to look at the phone, and I wrote the note to Dad. 101 is...
You're talking about the coast highway. You're talking about the basic coast highway between the Hills of Los Angeles to then...
Okay, 101 and then... Right, and then it turns into 1.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it was 101 on Eddie.
I just want to make sure we're talking about the highway 1.
Okay. And, anyway, he's, I mapped out a lot of the prison systems and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There. And I decided that I would, at least these people would have a chance to be free for a little while anyway, and that would be doing a revolutionary act, and if I died in the process, it would be fine. Okay.
So, you're gonna bust them in prison.
I was going to bust as many as I could because I figured that I could set chain reactions all the way down the highway and blow up these bridges that were all the way through. And nobody would be able to
follow
me unless they used air power. Yeah. So, and there were no cross routes between Highway 5 and 101. So, after I marked the maps and everything, I went back to San Francisco, and my partner, Chris Lewis, told Dad that I was planning on doing something. He didn't know what, but I had also at this particular...
Did Chris turn you on to this guy who was an armorer?
No, yeah. But he knew.
He knew
Chris.
Was, yeah.
Right. At the same time, this lady owned all those apartment buildings in that apartment building where all those people got killed in the Mission District.
Yeah.
Well, and Dad gave out her address by accident in a meeting, and I was determined that I was going to go and burn her house down. And I took Chris with me, and when I told him what I was going to do, he jumped out the van and went and told Dad. So in the process of me getting called to the governor meeting to talk about this,
yeah.
Dad wanted to find out why I wanted to do all these things, and he was very nice, you know, all of the time. But by this time, there was so much pressure until I decided that I didn't trust people in the government meeting, because I didn't feel like I should tell. I wanted to tell him the things that he was asking me, but I didn't feel like talking in front of everybody, so I wigged out. In fact, he even asked me about different fish here in Guyana, my fish program and all that stuff, and I just wigged out like I didn't know what he was talking about. Or,
yeah.
You know, so he sent me in another room to talk with him.
So what did you discuss again, Phil?
I discussed the man where I was going to get the guns at.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a card, a business card here, and I showed him the card. And
what was this, 76 or 73?
It was 75.
Okay, talk up, Ava, so I can hear you. I want to put this on tape.
Well, tape me, honey.
Well, I am taping you. If I don't tape you, I can't
type
that fast.
Okay, when I started, 1969, I guess. 1969 in September.
Let's bring the chair on over here and join us.
I can't stay here, no, James.
We'll just stay here for 10 minutes.
I'm in the middle of a lot of mess.
I know you are, but
anyway, tell me about it. I have to walk in here because somebody
did. I'm so glad you
don't
did.
Check that. Somebody said that they had shelves over here and we can't get shelves in the school department, so I had to come and check it out and see if it was true. And it's true, and you're in trouble. I don't know how y'all got it.
Okay, so tell me about it. Tell me about it. You went down there in 1969. At that time, who was there?
Mike Cartmell, Jack Beam Jr., and Joyce Sparks, whatever she was named at that time, and Anita Keller.
Okay. What was going on then?
We just had weekly meetings to confront each other and...
kind of like a student catharsis group?
Yeah. The boys had their own housing arranged, the girls had theirs, and we met together, I think on Wednesday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Discuss any problems or anything like that. Financial meetings we're having.
That's fine. Okay. Now, how did we get started... taking these cross-country marches and doing the calisthenics and learning how to shoot and planning these little strikes and all this good stuff.
Youthful meetings. Youthful meetings. Remember
we
started all
down.
When was that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know the exact time that was. When I first got there, we started doing the hiking and stuff like that.
Well, who was doing that?
Mike was in charge of that.
Mike
was. The youth group.
When did Jim Cobb join in being in charge of that? Hello?
Hey.
Yeah? Okay, now I gotta go.
Jim Cobb was also in college with Jack Beam and Mike Hartman.
Okay.
I think I'll
so it was Jim and Mike were doing this?
Yeah.
They were the main two. Right?
Yeah, when Mike left and went to San Francisco, Jim took over.
Okay, when did Mike leave and go to San Francisco?
I'm a baby.
Maybe somebody else will remember that. Okay. Now, when all this paramilitary stuff was all operative before Mike left.
Yeah, we used to do that in youth committee on Friday nights in Redwood Valley.
So it was mainly the college people then that knew
the most,
and then we invite in certain other ones.
Right.
And what all were you doing?
Taking hikes up in the bush. And
were they hikes or were they cross-country marches? I mean, we were out there observing nature or were you out there on a paramilitary practice? What was it?
Military practice.
Okay.
Remember all those maneuvers they used to put on paper?
Yeah,
you know, have a group here and a group there. What did we do with that? I know we did some practice with that, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
We did it in Santa Rosa. Remember, Mike would come down from San Francisco, and then he set up all these plans, and then we would work them out. Remember, we used to go behind our fence, over the fence, and run in the field, and she'd do all those military stuff.
We were doing compass stuff, learning how to navigate, kind of where you were and how to...
A lot of pressure on you during the exercise and the hiking?
Yeah.
You have pushed a lot.
Yes.
Who did all the pushing?
Jim Cobb, Mike, Wayne. Who else would you say?
Okay, now what kind of talk went along with all this bullshit?
Well, you were made to feel really bad if you
couldn't finish
keep
a hike or keep up or do all the exercises. They really down the women.
They do that. Yeah, wonderful.
Like on these military maneuvers or whatever, you have certain groups and took turns, more or less, being in charge and giving the orders.
Mm-hmm. What was the purpose of all this? Right. Why? What were you all talking about? Why were you doing all this shit?
Drive each other crazy.
You know, I can believe that, but besides that.
I guess they were living their little lives. I don't know.
What were they saying about it?
Yeah,
no, I understand that, but I mean, what were they saying about it at the time? Were they saying you was all going to be heroes of the revolution? Or or they were saying you all a bunch of fools who were just pushing you around because we're on a power trip? I mean, what were they saying?
Well, I said that, you know, we thought more or less thought of ourselves as being in the avant garde, but I don't really know
what. We didn't, you know, I mean, you never really got into that. We just took hikes and. I know when I first got there, they had an initiation party and took us on a damn hike and made us go through the river on the rope at nighttime and all that. It wasn't, you know, it was just, I don't know, I think it was, you know, they were fire tripping. More so than, because we, I don't know, we never fought a revolution.
No, you never fought in a revolution, but were they talking about it?
One time we had a hike, and remember they had you escape in the enemy camp, see if you can go in there and shoot the leader of the enemy or something like that and get out. And Christmas Hannes did it, the only one out of everybody who got snuck into the enemy camp and got back out.
So Lucianus was down there, huh? When did she get there?
A year after, about 70, 71.
Okay, she may remember something about this stuff too.
Huh?
She may remember something about this stuff too.
Kathy Jackson was there.
Kathy never, I mean,
she didn't participate.
Lazy and everything. Christine Lucianus was there and Jan Wilson came later.
Okay, now I want to know, I cannot honestly believe that you guys went and bounced your butts over all of that rough terrain for all those months and went through these calisthenics and all this bullshit, never talked about why you were doing it.
I told you they may have talked about, you know, getting to the enemy camp if we ever went somewhere, but shit, in Rebel Valley, where were you even going to enemy camp?
Don't ask me. I just want to ask you what the hell Cobb was saying and what Cartmell and them were saying about this shit.
You really can't, I mean, it wasn't shit, wasn't, you know, that wasn't the main thing. I think the hiking and all that was to get in shape and in case we ever have a revolution or something like that, but as far as, you know, them planning it out to do a revolution or taking somebody.
No, I don't think they had any specific plans. I'm not really saying that. I really wonder, you know, what they were telling you while they were pushing your asses all over the countryside about all this stuff. I mean, it wasn't a hell spot. You guys were learning how to do all kinds of military maneuvers, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you were doing, right? Mm-hmm. But it was military training, in effect, wasn't it? I mean, why else would you be going across rivers on ropes and going to enemy camps at nights and, you know what I'm trying to say, learning how to cross fields at night with a goddamn compass? That's military training.
Mm-hmm.
There's no purpose in any civilian life for doing that kind of work, is there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now why? Well, I want to know what the hell they were telling you about why everybody was doing that.
I guess they thought there was going to fight revolution somewhere else. That's about all that
adds up to. Is that what they said?
You more or less got that impression.
Yeah, you got the impression. Nobody ever discussed what you were going to do.
Well, his life was a big secret deal and just follow orders?
Yeah, the college people knew more than the high school students and, you know, anybody else. Supposedly anybody else. It was the Vanguard Party, I guess, the young people, the leaders of the next revolution.
This is revolutionary leadership training?
Mm-hmm.
I would say it was.
Yeah, because see, like I said, I think Mike did most of the military training because he read up all the time and he knew it, and I think he trained everybody else. But I think Jim Cobb's main function was doing the confrontation of people. And then he always was running in the meetings like that.
What about Danny Phillips? Did he do very much with his show?
Yeah.
What did he do?
He was a lot behind the military thing, too.
He had some
training,
didn't he?
Get together, yeah. They write out everything and, you know, and put it down on the map and all that.
You mean they planned the maneuver, whatever it was? Danny had some training. Do you know anything about his training in that?
Mm-hmm. I think mostly he read books. He never went to the Army. He never Mike even went.
Danny Phillips was never in the Army?
Mm-mm.
Well, he joined the Army after
he joined after he left the church, but not when he was in the church. Nobody ever did. Not those who grew up in the church.
Did Danny Phillips leave the church and come back to it?
Mm-hmm.
After
mm-hmm.
the Army?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he was in the Army for a while and then he came back to church.
Okay.
And what did he do in the Army, you know?
No. I know he was I think he got some little type of position. He was a little commander or something. Intelligence or something. He got him a position really quick. He went from a private to whatever it was.
Yeah, he did some intelligence work, I think. That's an interesting idea to explore, too.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligence work?
He did something really, you know, he was up there. He bragged about it.
Cushy, huh?
To him, yeah.
You can't remember what he said?
Mm-mm. He was bragged about his shit.
Okay. What can you guys remember about the situation in which the whole group of them left?
No, everybody was in San Francisco. I remember that. Jim Cobb had started dropping off in his attendance, saying it was school. You know, he's going to school. Mickey started dropping off saying she was working. You know, a lot on the weekends, so they both started dropping off in the attendance, coming to church on the weekends.
This is 73 in the summer, spring.
Anyway, Mike was going to school. Everybody who left said they were going to school, or either they had a work schedule which prevented them from coming to services regularly. So they all had excuses, and nobody was really watching them. So then,
at that time, were they all living up at Tom Kai?
No, in San Francisco.
Okay, we're in San Francisco then, yeah. Well.
Everybody's in San Francisco. In the dormitories on Page Street.
Okay.
Except for
it was Rennell's place?
Yeah. Let's see. I think Terry was in the dorm.
But still, they were all living there together, huh?
Mickey was living there with me. I think Vera and Tara. Wayne. But they were all in the valley.
Where was Tom at?
Tom who?
By Gorski. Didn't he leave the same time?
Yeah, he was in the valley. He was in college.
Bidolf was in the valley, wasn't he?
Yeah.
How did Bidolf fit into this thing, by the way?
Vera's husband. And he thought he was a military man, and he worshipped Wayne. And Wayne was best friend.
But he wasn't in the college thing.
No.
But he got in this little paramilitary thing just on weekends and stuff.
I don't remember.
He was Mike Cardinal's friend named Wayne. And Vera's husband. That's how he met them, through Vera.
I see.
And then he started liking Terry. That's how he really got into it. Him and Terry. They were all switching couples at that time.
Yeah.
And he went with Terry. And Wayne went with Lena.
Jim was going with Mickey.
Jim went with Mickey. And Vera went with Tom Pogorski.
Yeah.
I'll switch couples. I guess love brought them all together.
Yes, it did.
But right after Jim and I got married, he told me that he had a hard choice deciding between me and Mickey. And it wasn't until that time I knew he had any interest at all in it. So, huh? Yeah. And so I went. I talked to him, you know, I offered to get out of the relationship, not them two have it, and I also went to Mickey, of course. They both denied there was anything there.
Sure enough. Anyway, we were talking about what happened, how they came to split. Remember the whole lot of them, and you were talking about they were all down in San Francisco. Now, I know one thing. I know in August of 1973, they all pulled out of Redwood Valley out of Tom Kai Road in two automobiles, and they had a whole bunch of guns and ammunition and camping shit in the back of those things, and they left a big long note. That much I know, but that's about all I know, right?
All we know. They just up and left. Nobody even suspected it. But Mickey, Wayne, and John Bedell. Mike Cartmell. Mike knew what he looked. Mickey, Wayne, John Bedell, Terry. And Vera were in PC.
Yeah.
And Tom Pogorski and Jim Cobb were not, so they would go out and tell them everything that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Is Terry in there?
Terry was in there. Not Mickey. I don't know about Mickey. I know Terry was in there. I remember him being there.
I think Mickey was.
Was she?
Mike Cartmell pushed her into leadership to the world. She wasn't shit, but every time he got up, she was in charge of something. He was liking her at that time, too. Hmm. He used to go with her before he went with Suzanne, and when him and Suzanne started acting funny, he started messing with Mickey again.
Mike Cartmell never really got too involved in the church after that, did he?
After he left?
Yeah. I mean, he was around, but he was always going to school, and he was on the edge of things, and
right.
And he never really was very much involved at all, was he?
Mm-hmm.
When
he come into PC and wouldn't say too much.
Yeah, but PC wouldn't say anything. He'd attend meetings. He'd just get out of them as much as he could, and that was about it, huh?
Yep.
So really, in a way, Mike kind of started backing out of the deal clear back then. you say they Jan and Faith and Linda went out first, and they went out afterwards. About how long after was it? A couple of months or something like that?
A few months after. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
So maybe Jan and Faith and Linda went out in late spring or early summer or something.
Quite late spring.
You know who may know something about that? Mary, because we ended up buying Jan's mother's rest home. And we got that rest home about 3 months after they left. We finally finished the deal. And she may remember when she moved into that rest home. She took charge of it, remember that? Mary Weatherspoon did. But, either you guys have any idea in the world why Jan and Faith and them left when they did?
I didn't suspect it at all.
Well, in retrospect, do you have any idea?
Right here. Well, I don't know for sure. I know Linda became the manager or something of Mason my neck. She got cocky as fuck down there, and Faye was running around fucking every young teenage boy, and she wanted that to be brought out. And Jenna Phillips' mother was married just young. That wouldn't go through, so she's pissed behind that. And then Danny left too. That pissed off Jenna and her mom, Claire.
Danny, when did Danny leave? Well, it was while you were in the dorms, wasn't it?
Okay.
Well, you were still in Santa Rosa? When did you leave Santa Rosa?
Shit, we all left at different times. I left the 71 2 years
ago. Did Danny join the Army when you left?
He was gone, I think, when I left.
Okay. So it was between 69 and 71, right?
71, 72. He might have left around 71.
Okay. Now, I remember an evening in church when a bunch of stuff hit the floor about how these catharsis meetings were going on and all this paramilitary stuff was going on down in the dorms, right? That was the first I knew about it because I had no contact with that whole end of things. At that point, Jim stopped it, right? Do you recall when that was?
When it stopped?
Yeah. Look, I didn't
72.
Even get into church until June of 72. I didn't even start coming to meetings, weekend meetings, until July of 72, so it had to be the fall of 72. For early in 73. Okay. So it was the fall of 72.
And BXL left right at 72.
Were you still there?
It was stopped.
Mm-hmm. When it was stopped?
Mm-hmm.
Was Cobb still there when it was stopped?
I think so.
Yeah, he was there, but Cartmel was gone, right? Cartmel had gone down to San Francisco. And what was Cobb's feeling about at the time?
Well, they were good, I think. More or less considered somebody tattletale.
Well, who did they consider as a tattletale?
Christine,
maybe. And was that one the thing with Jeanette and Debbie came out and she slapped her? That was,
I think Christine, when she left Santa Rosa one night and went back to tell her life, she was going on in the door.
There were a couple times she took off from the meeting.
Yeah.
One.
And so Christine kind of was one of them that spilled the beans, and then Jim apparently didn't know all the shit was going on there. And when he found out about it, he stopped it. Was Cartmel pissed too?
Yeah, because Mike, to me, the reason why I thought it was all clear, because he was in charge of Dorothy, and everybody thought he was Jim's right hand man.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
We thought he was
supposedly in the first next in line for the succession at
right.
That point, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. So anything he did was all right.
Everything he did was the way it was all clear it's supposed to be. Now let me ask you a couple of questions that are entirely different than this. At the time that you guys were around there, were you ever impressed with the fact that Jim Cobb or Mike Cartmell had more money than anybody else?
No. I think everybody had about the same. I didn't have any money.
Uh-oh.
Jim Cobb never had any money. I think we were probably, you know, Cobb had the most of Jack and George. They always had money in their own cars. Mike never had a car. Jim Cobb had a car. He was not. Nobody else had shit.
Jack Arnold had one and
George Parker.
George Parker.
Both of their own cars. They always had money and they always, you know, really great to do your things. You know, did you get all down that one? He came in the room.
Oh, I understand. I see. Jim left, I guess, in August of 73, but he really hadn't been coming to church for some time. No. Did their attendance start dropping off shortly after all this paramilitary stuff stopped?
I think when everybody moved to San Francisco, everybody attended to dropped off.
What was the correlation between what was the correlation between when there was this big catharsis and the confrontation and Jim said, I'm going to stop all this shit down at the dorms, okay? Now, but at that time, the paramilitary stuff basically stopped, right? Or did it continue?
Let me tell you, the paramilitary thing was more in Redwood Valley than the dorms. Yeah, dorms,
okay.
All we did was run over the fence and run around the block and stuff like that.
Okay,
the training and stuff took place at Cow Mountain and, you know, where they
could go. Who was doing all that shit?
I never was in there. I know we was in the heights, the military train, the guns and all that stuff. Jim Cobb, Mike, Wayne. They didn't take too many, they didn't trust people in that now. That was their thing.
Mm-hmm.
The little stuff we did is just jogged around for an hour and we'll use a compass and stuff like that. But as far as the real, they didn't trust people. They really didn't trust people in that. That was their own thing. You know, they're going to be the revolution. Stop fighting, we're going to be the revolutionary leaders. I know they trust the theory. They probably missed it.
And,
John Bedell, Jim Cobb, Mike Cartmell, Wayne, and I think they just carried it off the stuff to everywhere he was. Yeah. Was like
but then that Jim stopped, the death stopped was the catharsis.
Yeah,
the
it was the catharsis and the confrontation he knocked off. It really didn't have anything to do with that other shit.
Uh-uh. I don't even think they told him that because Chris, he didn't know about that. All we did is job, you know. They didn't trust everybody at the dorm, so everybody wasn't involved in what they were doing.
I see.
Yeah.
And all they did basically was, at the dorms was kind of like an elaborate exercise deal and with a little bit of...
The compass.
With a little bit of...
The main thing was catharsis at the dorms. Getting you ready mentally for emotionally. If you could take that, then they let you go on higher ground and use the ghost.
Is that the way it was?
Yeah.
Is that the way it worked out?
Only five of them, you know, they really got involved in the guns.
And they're the ones that split.
They're the most emotional crazy too.
Yeah,
it would always fall apart in the conversation.
Yeah, that figures apart. Who was living at Tom Clyde? What happened? Did everybody come up for the summer or something like that out of school?
Whenever we go home on the weekends, you stay with your families, right?
Yeah.
Wayne would stay with Wanda and Tom.
Yeah.
And then Terry would stay with them, and John Bedell and Vera moved in with them too.
With who?
With Tom Clyde.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they moved in there. So, the Mickey and Jim Cobb and Vera and Tom Wilson would all spend the night up there on the weekend. And whenever we came home for holidays or something, they'd spend the night at that.
Was that Tom's cabin or was that the...
A trailer.
A trailer down below it, yeah. Was it a big one?
Yeah, real nice. Yeah.
And so, they did that. They were there quite a bit during the summer, huh?
The
school was out.
And they're doing summer and all weekends and holidays.
Yeah. Remember when they all split, they left a note. Do you have any idea what that note said? Do you remember it at all?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When they read it, they
had the catharsis that was always racist to you.
Always.
Tell me about that over there.
Hillcock was in charge of the catharsis at that time. Then when he left, Wayne took him over. But Wayne followed the same trend, even though he did. He always picked black against white or white against black. Everything had to be a race issue. You know, we fall down to the personalities or assholes or something like that.
Why were they doing that?
Well, he was black and in charge of the races, wasn't he?
It seemed like there was a split. You know, there was a group here and a group here.
What was that? Which
Big
group
Mouth and the Nun Talkers.
Yeah.
That's the way it was, because Jim Cobb, Terry, Wayne. We did most of the talk with it at that time. I didn't do much talk with it. Although I was on the fire side. They didn't like me too much. They didn't like me anymore. They didn't like me and you.
I know they took me in a room once. I don't know if you've been about it. They got on me about how I didn't talk very much.
Yeah, they got on you about not talking very much. And Denise, Cassie. At one time, they didn't like me at all. Parents, two men were best friends. And then they brought Mickey into it, then they brought Janet into it. That's how Jim Cobb met with Mickey and Janet. We didn't see it as that. You know, we just knew all of a sudden we were all buddy buddies. And if you talked and yelled and thought the way they did, then they liked it. If you didn't, you wouldn't get there.
No, I don't
think
it's
hard. And that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm. You can see who left. The ones that left were all in there quick.
Yeah, we're all
the ones that didn't let them know, you know, we were considered them know as much as they did or wasn't as smart or something.
How did Cartmel fit into that? He split by then, huh?
Yeah, he went on to, he started the whole thing, and Jim Cobb took it over, and then Wayne took it over.
Where did Jim Cobb go? Where were they going to school?
Sonoma State. Jim Cobb went to Sonoma State at that time. Wayne was going to Santa Rosa Junior College. When he first started off, he goes to Santa Rosa Junior College for 2 years, then you go to Sonoma State for a year, then you go to San Francisco.
Sonoma State, where was that? Santa Rosa?
No. Sonoma Park. Right.
And when you go to San Francisco, where would you go to school?
San Francisco State or University of San Francisco. Mike went to law school, Jim Cobb went to UC, and Wayne and Terry went to San Francisco State. And Jack Arnold.
Jack Arnold went to San Francisco State?
Mm-hmm.
When did Jack split? Do you recall when Jack Arnold left?
After he graduated.
That's figures.
Yeah, they all got their graduation. After she graduated, she was with Jim Cobb.
I have a tape on me.
After they graduated and got their little diploma, she was with Jim Cobb. It was really amazing.
Yeah.
You talked to Sharon?
Yeah.
You talked to Sharon? Because she was, her and like Dan Wilson.
When did you get down there?
I graduated in 1970. So I was...
From Santa Rosa?
Yeah, from Santa Rosa.
Right. Where did you go from there?
I went to Davis. University of California, Davis.
Yeah.
So I basically was right on the tail end or, you know, when I left, they just came in because they're younger than I am.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I knew what was going on there.
That was there any of it going on when you were there?
No. Because just Mike Cartmel and myself was the only ones that went to school together there.
Together?
At Santa Rosa.
I see.
You
were the first two down there?
Right. Okay. Right. Mike started, then I started right behind him. And we lived off of Santa Rosa Avenue, way out toward the Petaluma, you know, in a trailer, and commuted back and forth to school. I lived in the dormitory for about 3 or 4 months. They had just been purchased. And,
that's another program with Jim Cobb.
Right. Because Anita, Kelly, Judy Irons, and myself, and Ava Jones, we all, you know, like after Mike and I started, then the next semester those girls came and then some fellas that was there, but we lived separately, and I didn't know, you know, what was going on because my program was through a hospital, and I did not go to the college, basically, very often. So, I mean, I didn't know I was in the nursing program. I wasn't really involved.
and I worked nights, you know, doing my practice.
And you knew what was going on in Redwood
Valley? Well, about Jim Cobb and Wayne. Well, about Terry Cobb. Podgorski, all of them, they hung around together. Nikki Touche, they hung around a lot together. And I know they went out at Tom and Wanda's house and would do like weekend things, taking hikes, and you know, they'd all dress up in khaki jackets. They'd khaki pants, and they'd go like for a day or two off into the woods and camp out and stuff like that. They'd get, they were buying stuff from the Army Surplus Store, and ropes and all kinds of things like that, and then we'd go to, you know.
We didn't like this, just like what?
You know, for climbing, and go, they would go down real steep cliffs and stuff on ropes. They, you know, they would talk a lot about doing guerrilla warfare stuff. They would go through obstacle courses and stuff like that, crawling, climbing.
Who had that up?
I would say those two, Jim Cobb and Wayne Pitt. Those two. They always had books, you know, Cable Bar books.
That's what was starting around that much?
No. Cartmel, I would say Cartmel didn't get involved, so he was out of school. He was studied as probably a senior year in school. And, I mean, he'd talk about it, but he would make fun of it. He would make fun of them.
He thought it was much of a bullshit.
Yeah, all right. Because he was into his own thing in law school. But he wasn't
Santa Rosa. Weren't directly connected with the school group. They were this little clique.
Right, that's right. Because there was a lot of people that was going to school that was not involved in that.
Yeah, I see. And did you ever remember a time when Jim, did Jim know they were doing all this yet?
No, not really. I mean, he knew that they ran around together, but there was no, I mean, it wasn't, I think it started out more as a fad kind of thing.
Well, they were really talking some guns and ammunition and stuff too long ago, weren't they?
Yeah, they would talk about it. I never got involved in it because, you know, I was going with Jim Cobb before that time. I mean, he was my boyfriend kind of thing, and I didn't go along with it, and so basically, I mean, the more he got into this, the more he was just